I just think at the moment we're living in a strange political vacuum where very little sensible debate on the subject is taking place at all. Government plainly has not yet got a policy. I think Theresa is very wise to shut up making policy statements until she's actually got a thought through policy and got colleagues to agree with each other on what it is and is ready to start on a serious negotiation. And I thought the debate in the national media during the referendum was tedious and absurd on both sides for most of the time. Now it's become rather vacuous and it's rather based on lightweight gossip and so on.
But I guess
because nobody's got anything to report.
If the Prime Minister just says Brexit is Brexit and not a lot more.
Very wise.
You can't have much of a debate.
Until she's got. Well, she's already had a warning of what'll go wrong if you play to today's absurd media. They made policy announcements at the party conference because no doubt their press officers told them they got to say something. And they made two or three press announcements which seemed, everybody, including me, to mean we're obviously leaving the single market. And the pound crashed by 15%. Now, as a veteran, I can say, in my day, certainly when I've been Chancellor, if my colleagues had gone out and appeared to have made policy statements that caused the pound to collapse in the currency markets, I would have thought that a crisis, and I would have been extremely angry that it had been done. Now, in today's...
I think Philip Hammond was.
I hope he was. I mean, he's a sound man. At least he's economically literate and he's the right man to be Chancellor. Such is the silliness of this phony war we're in at the moment, nobody seems frightfully bothered. And all the Eurosceptics say, oh, it's a great thing to junk your currency, even if you do it by accident. Theresa should not make any policy statements until she's banged heads together and got a policy that they're actually ready to pursue. My only difference with Theresa, I think I'm going to be a slight pain to her if she doesn't come down on the right side. She's
sort of stumming right up. You're a bloody difficult woman. You're going to be a bloody difficult man, aren't you?
Well, yes, but she needs to be a bloody difficult woman. It's one of her attributes in the crisis she's taken over. But I do think she can't suspend parliamentary accountability for the next 3 or 4 years. No, the idea that the government is not answerable to Parliament for its policy on international relations and economic and trade relations with its neighbours, and we've got to wait for 4 or 5 years to see what the policy is absurd.
How can you then be accountable? You have before
she activates Article 50, she's got to set out a broad policy statement. Obviously, not negotiating detail and red lines. That would be a foolish thing to do. But just lay out broad policy objectives and get parliamentary approval for them as the basis for the negotiations that take place, and then the outcome of those negotiations. I mean, as things emerge, again, our constitution is based on government being accountable to Parliament for its policy. And no opinion poll, however important a referendum may be, should lead to that being suspended, particularly as the question in the referendum and the answer given gave no clue whatever as to what it meant for trade policy or anything else.
Do you still fear that there might be a recession? We've obviously had the growth figures for the quarter since June the 23rd, which seem to be relatively robust.
Oh, well, again, part of today, the innate silliness of the current media reporting in all fronts is that every set of economic statistics of any kind, and you get about two sets of provisional figures on something or other every week, is being interpreted, usually with cries of joy from one side or the other, the Brexiteers saying this proves me right and Remainers saying this proves me right, both talking total nonsense because they're putting a weight on figures that will be revised, don't in themselves signify anything, and we don't know. We won't know the actual consequences. The difficulty for responsible politicians, we won't actually know the consequences of Brexit for 10, 20 years' time, I would think.
Do you think Boris Johnson is being taken seriously in the Foreign Office?
Well, you, like me, have probably gossiped with all diplomats, but I wasn't going to share it. Now, I think yes, they're going to have to get used to it. I think he's going to have to get used to them as well. I have hopes. I wouldn't have made Boris Johnson foreign secretary, obviously, but neither would Theresa if she hadn't taken over in these circumstances. I've already said earlier on that Boris is someone of the stature and intellectual capacity to be a very good foreign secretary if he determines that's what he wants to do. And if he does start developing diplomatic skills and statesmanship and a serious concern for what he's saying and doing, I think the diplomats will be cheered up.
What job would you have given him?
Boris. Well, it's a bit silly, because I know two people ever agree on reshuffles. But had I been one of the participants in the leadership elections and all that, which is, I see it as the one bad habit I've ever given up, standing in leadership elections, I think I would have brought Boris in, not just because of the political pressures, and I would have put him probably not in the Foreign Office, but in some big, substantial domestic department, because I would have wanted him to prove that he would apply himself to do a serious job of work using his undoubted skills and talents. So, I don't know, I'd have stuck him perhaps something bigger than transport. I'm not sure I've taken a risk with education or health, but, communities and local government or something. And
what have you got against local councils?
No. Well, if he does it seriously, he's all right.
That was the job I tipped him for, actually. That's exactly the one that I thought, well, he's got a bit of expertise in local government. Having been Mayor of London, let him prove himself there.
Yeah, you say to him, look, you prove you're a master of photo opportunities. You can turn the most boring factory visit into a front page photograph doing something farcical wherever you go, and you're marvellous at blustering away with highly humorous sound bites and all the rest of it, and go to communities and local government and prove you can do a serious job of work and not cause any damage. That's what I would have tried. But this is all slightly tongue-in-cheek, because I never remotely thought that I'd be around deciding whether or not to give Boris a job in government. Nothing to do with me.
Do you worry about the suspension of collective responsibility over Heathrow? It's unprecedented.
No, I did think that was the way out. No, I was at the Whip's office back in the Ice Ages. That's what I did in the Heath government, significantly on the European Communities Bill. We always, in those days, we ran a much more disciplined party and collective responsibility was a rule of good government. But we always were a bit more relaxed when people had a constituency interest.
But not cabinet ministers.
I don't remember cabinet ministers being allowed to be anything other than silent. But times have moved on. I mean, I think the change is desirable. And I must say, I always thought somebody like, Justine Greening, who I admire, like a lot, I think she could be an extremely good senior cabinet minister. It's silly to break with her when everybody knows what her views on Heathrow are. She's been extremely articulate about them for as long as I can remember. It's a big thing in her constituency. What is the point of making her give up being Secretary of State for Education because she goes out and says, actually, my opinion is this is a wrong place to put an airport runway. And I think they've been, of course, enjoined to be a little restrained. If she starts personally attacking Chris Grayling about it or denouncing people, Justine wouldn't do that anyway. But if she sticks to her guns and explains why she holds what I'm quite sure are her sincere opinions, it isn't just her constituency pressures, I think it's right to let her get on with it.
And do you think it's right not to put a candidate up against Zach Goldsmith in the by-election?
Well, you would turn it then into a crazy by-election, wouldn't it? It would put the spoke in Zach's wheels up to a point, because it's very difficult in elections to keep to one subject for 3 weeks. And Zach probably will succeed in keeping it on Heathrow. If you stick up,
are trying to turn it into a battle over Europe.
Precisely. Well, yeah. If you stuck up a Conservative, then there'd be a great rouse to whether you had a Brexit Conservative or a Remain Conservative in the current neurotic conditions we're in at the moment. And the by-election would turn rapidly descend into a rather complicated farce. So if there are a lot of Remain voters in the constituency, so if the Lib Dems succeed in saying, well, you know, this is, runway decision's been taken, isn't it more important that we have get rid of this hardline Eurosceptic? There we are. We'll see where we go. But that's Zach's choice, not mine. He decided to call it.